Thank you, Pastor Beulah. Praise God. Welcome to everyone who is online with us tonight. I welcome you to day number 23 of our 30 days of planting the heavens. This is what a blessing this has been. Before you know it, in approximately about 1 week, actually exactly about 1 week from today, we will be done with this journey and we will look back. And I know all of us will be amazed at the things that the Lord has done for us in these past 30 days. So I want to encourage you to receive from God and believe for that last wind that we need, that last batch of strength and grace, so that we don't weary, we don't get tired, and we don't fall by the wayside. Trust God that this last week the Lord will energize you. And I know it can be a little challenging with the fast being over. This requires a little bit more discipline, but the Lord will help us. And this has been a glorious journey, and yet He saves the best for the last. So I encourage you to expect the best of what the Lord has for you the rest of this last 7 days. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go through our confession together tonight, our 2015 confession, and then get into the Word of God. If you have it, let's go together. 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome, heaven. Welcome, Eden. I am a loved child of a loved God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are the new constant in my life. No more crying. No more whining. Goodbye, disease, sorrow, sickness, pain, and failure. Former things have passed away. All things have come true. The night season is over. Daybreak is finally here. Good morning, Kyle. For as surely as the earth brings forth our blood, and as the garden has the thing sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth out of my life. Exceeding grace will make the difference in my destiny. Zoe life, the superabundant nyafu-nyafu life of God, will continually overflow in me. Light be. I am free from every yoke and chain of darkness. This is my walk over here. Divine wisdom will distinguish me. The God kind of faith will make a giant out of me. My due season of harvest is here. I am walking in God's due order. The covenant worker in every precious seed I sow is returning to me speedily with multiplied increase. I am walking over frustration, dysfunction, delay, miscarriage, stagnation, and abortion. Every terminal verdict is hereby terminated in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome, heaven. Welcome, Eden. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We about three sessions ago,
we started looking at what we need to do, the things that we need to be committed to beyond the Daniel fast. And I call this beyond the Daniel fast. 21 days of the year is not good enough. It's not to do some good things for 21 days and then just abandon those things and then go back to how we used to be. That's almost like a wasted motion for those 21 days of Daniel fasting. The most important thing is that we are able to consistently press forward and to continue to grow in the areas that the Lord has ministered to us. So we started talking about beyond the Daniel fast, and the first thing we identified we must do is we must commit to honor God, commit to honor God. And if you went with us when we started addressing or started learning about this subject, I encourage you to go back and meditate over 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 1 to 46, especially in the area of honor, Obadiah's honoring God and honoring God's people and God's servants, verses 1 to 16, compared to King Ahab's dishonor in verse 17 and verse 18. We have learned a few things already about the honor of God. God is not obligated to fulfill his word in your life or my life if we do not honor him. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, he says, those that honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Well, praise God, we know that we are not despising the Lord. We know that we are committed to honoring him. So let's wrap that up tonight and just learn one or two more things about the honor of God before we run full blast, full steam ahead to the last sessions of this 30 days of planting the heavens journey. Hallelujah. So I want you to flip over there to Revelation chapter 5. Just four major things I want you to see tonight. Number one is honor. I mentioned this in the previous couple of sessions ago. Honor is the culture of heaven. Revelation chapter 5, and I want you to read there. We're going to read from verse 11 to verse 14. Honor is the culture of heaven. Why is it important that I keep that in mind? Because if I'm trusting God for days of heaven upon the earth, I will not be able to enjoy days of heaven upon the earth if I do not engage the culture of heaven. Heaven is full of honor to God. And if we want to enjoy the blessings of heaven upon the earth, and we want to plant the earth in this season and beyond, honor, commitment, a qualitative commitment to honoring God is something that we must do. Revelation chapter 5 from verse 11, it says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. If you go through that list, you will find out that as a church, as the body of Christ, worldwide, global-wide, we have majored on just about every one of those scriptures with the exception of honor. It says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. So we know a lot about power. Dunamis, we talk a lot about power. He has given you power to tread upon serpents and all of that. Riches, we're learning a lot about that now, how God wants to prosper us. Amen. How Jesus became poor so that through his poverty we may become rich. Wisdom, we know the power of wisdom. It is the principal thing. Strength, oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. How we need strength is grace is sufficient for us. And glory, yes, amen. The glory of the Lord, the glory of the latter house will surpass that of the former. And blessing, oh, yes, praise God. It won't be long now. Blessing, everywhere you look, blessing. Amen. That's wonderful. But honor is not something that we have majored on that much, the honor of God. And it is so important to realize and to know we cannot enjoy the full benefits of heaven on earth without committing to honor. Let me read that verse 12 again. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. I remember in one of those sessions, I did mention, sometimes we have a tendency to feel or to think that honor and things like respect is a culture of maybe the third world, or is a culture of societies that are not as modernized, not as developed. You find out the more modernized people think they are becoming, or they think they are, the more they throw out honor. You read in the scripture where the Bible says we are to honor one another as Christians, or it talks about honor in our relationships, or even in things like marriage or family or raising children and things like that. And it's unfortunate that a lot of times believers think, and we have bought into that lie of the enemy, we believe that the more modernized we become, the more enlightened we become, the more technologically advanced we become, and the more current we are with societal trends and things, well, the less honor we should really be into. You find people just talk anyhow to themselves, whether they are adults or young people. Young people will speak anyhow to adults. Adults will speak anyhow to one another. You find people who are in relationships, whether marriage or other kind of relationships, family relationships and things like that, just speak anyhow to one another. And you can tell there is no honor. There is no place of valuing and esteeming people. And I've said this before. It's one of the biggest reasons that is responsible for a lot of the decadence that happens in our society. I know that in certain cultures, I certainly saw that when we lived in England, certain cultures, parents actually raise up their kids, and I understand in some parts of America it is that way as well. Parents actually raise up their kids to call their parents by first name, on first name basis. Hey, John. Hey, how you doing, John? Hi, Mary. And they think that is a freedom. That is part of enjoying freedom. Really, to be quite honest with you, that is not freedom. That is really stupid. Because the truth is, if children and young people and adults don't learn what honor is, and if they don't learn it early, they lose value. They don't realize what value is. And you find even married people, and you find that a lot. In Bible says, Sarah honored her husband. She called her husband Lord. And then in that same scripture, the Bible says the man is to honor the wife as the weaker vessel, and pay attention to her and blah, 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 and give her credence and carry her with weight and all of that. And yet you find out that with modernization now comes people just talk anyhow. You find people who are married or people who are getting ready to get married. They believe that, you know, the way to advance in whatever culture they are in is to just be extremely casual and extremely lousy and disrespectful a lot of times. And if you cultivate that in your natural relationships, you will carry that over to your relationship with God. Notice, in heaven, honor is the culture. It's not an African or South American or some backward continent culture. It is the culture of heaven. You notice in that scripture, that verse 14, it says the 24 elders, those are the highest, most esteemed human beings in heaven right now. It says the 24 elders fell down and worshiped. They fell down and worshiped. Well, think about this for a minute. When last did you see somebody falling down to worship in your culture, in our society? When last did you actually see someone bowing the knee to worship God? When last did you see someone actually prostrating on the floor just to worship God. You know, one of the reasons why that is less and less and less frequent in our society is because things like respect and honor are kind of being pushed into the shadows. But we need to bring it back. Honor to God must be something that we continually practice. It is so important. Now, keep this in mind. God will get him his honor one way or another. God is passionate about his honor. And if we fail to honor him, he will not honor us. In fact, if we fail to honor him, we can have shame and disgrace. We already saw that in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 to 30. God will get him his honor one way or another. It will either be through people, through the glory that people give to him directly as his people, because we recognize he deserves that honor, or that through our shame, we will actually finally acknowledge that, oh, God deserves the honor and the glory, and now we will give it to him just like the world gives it to him. You can meditate on Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to 14. I know we read that scripture already, and I don't have too much time to read that whole thing again tonight. But God said in verse 6, well, if I'm a father, if I'm a master, where is my honor? And where is my fear? I mean, he goes on and on. And in one of those verses, he says, listen, I think it's verse 14. He says, I will be honored. My name will be esteemed among the Gentiles, meaning I will get me honor. Matter of fact, I want you to turn over to Exodus. See what he said to Pharaoh or to Moses about Pharaoh. Look at Exodus chapter 14. I want you to read that one. I think that's a very good one for us to read together tonight. Exodus chapter 14. And I want you to look at verse 4, verse 17, and verse 18. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 4, verse 17, and verse 18. Verse 4, I will harden, this is God speaking, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. Notice, exactly same thing the Lord said in Malachi 1, verse 11, Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. He's saying here to Pharaoh, I will be honored. He's saying that to Moses, but he's saying it regarding Pharaoh. He says, I will be honored upon Pharaoh, meaning right now, he does not give me my place. He does not esteem me highly. He doesn't value me or value my people or value my instructions or value my place or value my possessions or value my system or value my process or value the things that I value. But very soon he will, because I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. See, God will get his honor one way or another. Look there in verse 17. Exodus 4, verse 17. It says exactly the same thing. And behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor. And then he says in verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Notice, God will get him his honor one way or another. It will either be through shame or it will be through glory. Well, as his children, what should we do? We should commit and say, hey, I will honor God. God will get him honor, not through my shame, but through my glory. I will honor God. I commit to honoring God. So everything that means, everything that it means to honor God, I completely 100% subscribe to. One powerful question that came up in my spirit that you should ask yourself frequently when you think about honor for God is this. Who is the one person? Most of us have that. We may have one or two or maybe three, depending on what it is. For some people, it is someone in their place of work. For For some people, it is someone in their family. For some people, it is somebody in the society. For some people, it's some politician. For some people, it's a minister. It really depends. But who is the one person in your life right now that you highly regard and you wouldn't want to disappoint? Let me ask that question again. Who is the one person in your life right now? Right now. I'm not saying 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean right now. One person in your life. And I hope there is such a person. Because if you do not have such a person in your life that you highly regard and that you would not want to disappoint, you are falling so seriously short in the place of honor to people. And that means your honor to God must be really, really lacking. So actually, one of the first things you want to give yourself as an assignment is if there is no such person in your life right now, you want to ask God, Lord, plant such a person in my life, such a person that I highly regard, I will highly regard, highly esteem, highly honor, and that I do not ever want to disappoint. Now, when you know who that person is, the second question is, or the second thing I want you to do with that is, I want you now to begin to think and treat God with more respect and more value than whoever that person is. Whatever you do for that person, whatever you do for that person in the natural, take it up several times over and do much more than that for God. If it is for someone at your place of work, like a boss, a direct superior, or some overall person who you know maybe is maybe directly responsible for what happens to you on the job, whether you get promoted or not, and you always, constantly want to look good before that person. Or maybe it's even your CEO, maybe it's your overall boss, the person who owns the company or whatever, or somebody who is a direct report or something. You know, someone that, you know, you just want to be in their good books. You want them to think highly of you. You don't ever want them to hear something that makes them disappointed to a point where they now feel, oh, maybe they are not worthy of that much value that I've put upon them. Well, whoever that person is, I want you to consider your relationship with that person and treat God with much, much greater value and greater honor than you do that person. We have learned already what is honor. What is honor to God? How do I honor God? And we've already given a very simple definition of it. It means to respect and to esteem highly and deeply value God's person. God's person. That is, you deeply value the person of God. Jesus said, my Father is always with me and he's never left me because I always do those things that are pleasing to him. That means he deeply values the person of God. He doesn't want God's presence to lead him. He deeply values the person of God. Well, that is honor, to deeply value and to highly esteem his person. That's honor. And then to highly esteem his power, deeply value his power. So you don't treat the anointing cheap. You don't treat the anointing cheaply. You highly esteem the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing on your life, the anointing on other believers' lives, the anointing on God's servants, and you highly esteem it. You don't treat that anointing light. You don't laugh about the things that concern the anointing. You don't make joke and be casual. I said this before, I believe, in one of those lessons. Being casual with the holy things of God, especially things like that concern the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or anything that concerns the Holy Spirit, can make you a casualty. Being casual with the holy things of God, especially the things that concern the anointing of the Holy Spirit, can make you a casualty. I know that's one of the things Jesus, when he was teaching in the New Testament, he said that's the unpardonable sin. That's the one sin that is not going to be pardoned, is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Well, none of us as children of God are going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But do you honor him? Or do you grieve him? Do you allow him to be grieved by the things going on in your life? So that's very important. Esteem and deep value for his power. And then his purpose, what God is trying to do upon the earth right now. To honor that. And what is that? That's his church. That is his church. The church is the highest thing The kingdom of God is the highest thing that the Bible says. In the last days, God said, I will exalt my church upon the mountains, higher than every other thing. And he says the nations and many from different nations will flock to it. And they will say, let's go to the house of the Lord so that he can teach us of his ways. I believe that is Isaiah chapter 2 from verse 1 down. Or maybe it's Isaiah chapter 4. I'm not sure. I didn't check that scripture before I came online tonight. But he says in the last days he will exalt his church. He will exalt Zion. He will exalt his house, his kingdom above everything else. Hallelujah. So when you honor God, you exalt his church. You exalt the kingdom of God. Anything that has to do with the kingdom of God, you highly esteem. You deeply value. Then you deeply value his people. You deeply value his people. The people of God, you understand now, are far more important than any other natural relationship you have in your life. No matter what our natural relationships appear like, no matter how important they seem to us, whether they are relationships in our natural family, relationships maybe in our career, in education, relationships in the ministry, relationships in things that we're trying to do and all of that, we come to identify the most important, the most significant relationships in our lives are the relationships that we have with God's people. We esteem the people of God. Your sister in Christ is far more valuable than your blood sister. I know somebody didn't hear me. And somebody thinks, that is strange. Well, that means you have been buried in religion and you need to be delivered. Your sister in Christ, that woman who you and that person call the name of Jesus together, that person is far more significant to you than some natural sister that you have who doesn't know the Lord. Now, if your sister knows the Lord, that's even good. That's extra. That's plus. That's great. But your sister in Christ is far more valuable than your natural relationship. Your brother in Christ is far more valuable. That means you can't go home to your family, your children, your son, your daughter, and your natural family, and talk negative about your brother and your sister in Christ. You can't talk negative about somebody who is a part of the family of God because you are with somebody in your natural family. I'm going to have you write down this scripture, Mark chapter 3, verse 31 to 35. Your spouse, there's so many, what a shame, so many believers, sometimes many of them with unbelieving spouses, sometimes some of them with believing spouses, but who are not fervent in the things of God. And what a shame that many of these believers will go home and talk rotten about their brothers and their sisters in Christ to their unbelieving spouse because, they are connected by a blood covenant. They don't realize that is dishonor to God. One of my mentors, one of my greatest mentors in the ministry and in the faith, the great man of God, Reverend Kenneth E. Egan, who is late right now, shared years ago when he was a pastor. He was a pastor way early in his ministry. Talked about, some of the situations he had, especially he cited the example of one of the women in his congregation who will come to church, and she was praying for the salvation of the husband, but the husband would always drop her at the door of the church and leave, and the man would never go into the church. And this woman, every Sunday when she got back home, will go and run down and talk down everything that happened in the service. We'll talk about the people and how this lady and that man, look at what they did. And, they don't have no value and they're not good people. And she will say all that to her husband, who is unsaved. And the man never got saved until one day the Holy Spirit arrested him supernaturally. And when he committed his life to Christ, he said, this woman, that talking about his wife, has been the greatest hindrance to his coming to know the Lord. Why? Because constantly she berated other believers before him. Constantly she pulled down the church of God before him to the point where he didn't value or esteem the things of God. Well, that is dishonor to God. I want you to write down that scripture, Mark chapter 3, verse 31 to 35. I want you to see how Jesus honored God's family above his own natural family. Jesus honored his spiritual, his kingdom family, his brothers in Christ, his sisters in Christ, who sat down together with him around the word of God. He honored them more than some biological relationship. Now, honoring his family was right, but he had a higher honor. Look at this scripture right here. You know Jesus wouldn't ever get it wrong. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Let me read it to you. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing outside or without, sent unto him, calling him, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren outside, they seek for you. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Or who are my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother, and behold, my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Look at that. Look at that. Jesus honored the people of God more than his own people. That is honoring God. Deeply value and deeply esteem, highly esteem God's people, God's possession, God's money. That is, that money, though it's in your account, though it's in your wallet, if it is your tithe or if it is an offering that should be going into the kingdom of God, honoring that and giving it to him, that's honoring God. To take God's money, which is your tithe, out of what he gave you, to hold on to that portion and refuse to give it to his kingdom, and to say, it's my money and I need to pay this for myself, and I need to pay that bill, and I have this emergency, that is dishonoring God. Because you are stealing from him, like he said in Malachi. See, they've robbed me. He said, in what way? Because you have robbed me in my tithe. Why did he say that? Because they were taking what belonged to him, and they were using it for their own purpose. And they dishonored him for that purpose. Hallelujah. To honor, to deeply value his places, his house. His house. To treat his things with respect. If he has a car, to treat it with respect. If he has a church building, to treat it with respect. If he has equipment, to treat it with respect. More respect than you will protect your own equipment at home. Hallelujah. That is honor. To honor God's process. Honor God's process. And honor God's prophets. I've talked about that already, and I'm not going to go back there. But to honor God's process, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know, in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God said, My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than you. But look at what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says. To honor God's way and God's process, to respect it, though we don't understand it, maybe God's way is that, oh, this is what I would like you to do as a church, or this is what I would like you to do as my child in your spiritual walk. Well, to honor that process, even when we don't understand it, to honor the way of the Lord, even when we don't understand it, is honoring God. When the world says, an eye for an eye, if somebody tries to hurt you, hurt them back. But God's process says, love your neighbor, and those who use you, and those who abuse you, and those who despitefully use you, love them. That is God's process. You may not understand that, but for you to obey and to deeply value that means you honor God. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Look at what it says here. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing right, and his way of being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So God's process, God's kingdom, and God's righteousness is his way of doing things. God's way of doing things. When you deeply value that, when you deeply honor that, then you honor God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what, beloved? One of the sweetest things about learning about the concept, the power of God's honor, is what I like to call honor's reward. Honor's reward. Honor's reward is for those who are committed to honoring God. And there are threefold. Honor's reward is threefold. There are three ways in which God will honor you when you honor him. When you are committed to honoring God, there are three major ways in which God will honor you. And I call that honor's reward. Honor's reward. The first way is God, when you honor God, when you honor God and you are committed to honoring God, and one of the ways you honor God is you throw your weight behind his word. You put your weight behind his word. When God says something, you put your weight behind his word. You carry it heavy. You carry it valuably. Like, oh, this is highly esteemed. The word of God is so highly esteemed. Well, one of the ways God will honor you is he will honor you by throwing his weight behind your words. God will honor you by throwing his weight behind your words. Isaiah 44, verse 25 and 26. The Bible says in verse 25, Isaiah 44, that God who frustrates the talking of the liars and makes diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. God wants to confirm the word you speak. He wants to perform the counsel you speak. So when you honor God, when you and I honor God, God will throw his weight behind our words. And you know in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 in the Amplified, the Bible says Jesus' word was with authority, power, weight, and ability. So when you speak, God will give your words weight. And he will not allow any word you speak to fall to the ground like he did for Samuel. Look there in 1 Samuel, or write down the scripture. I'm just going to read it out to you real quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Bible says God didn't allow. He honored that man Samuel so much, he did not allow any of his words to fall to the ground. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. Look at what it says here. It says here in verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him, and he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. He let none of his words fall to the ground. How would you like that, beloved? To speak it and tell your family, or tell your colleagues at work, or tell your brothers or your sisters, and say, oh, God is going to do this in my life. This is going to happen. Shortly, this is going to happen in my life. And for God to honor that word and to bring it to pass quickly. Many times, even prophetic words that we receive, a lot of prophetic words that we receive, one of the things that creates a delay in the fulfillment of the prophetic words that are spoken into our lives, that God sends to us directly or indirectly through his servant, one of the things that delays those prophetic words from coming to pass is the honor that we give him. If we honor God, we commit to honor it, and we honor God, and we throw our weight behind his word, God will honor you. Every word he speaks to you, he will fulfill speedily. He will bring to pass suddenly in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is honor's reward number one. The second way in which God will honor you is the second part of honor's reward, is God will honor you by magnifying you and enlarging you before your adversaries and your contemporaries. God will honor you by magnifying you and enlarging you before your adversaries and your contemporaries. You remember how God honored Moses in Exodus chapter 14. That same scripture that we read earlier, where God said, I'm going to get me honor over Pharaoh. Well, God didn't have to say that about Moses. He simply honored Moses by magnifying him before the people. The Bible says in Exodus 14:31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And his servant, they believed the Lord and they feared the Lord and his servant Moses. What happened to Moses? Moses was magnified before the people. He was enlarged both before Egypt and before Israel. The Egyptians finally accepted that Moses was a man of God. They finally accepted that the God of Moses is the true God indeed. But it wasn't just the Egyptians. Even the Israelites, the Jews, they acknowledge finally Moses is a servant of God. You know, many times we're trying so hard, we work so hard to try to enlarge ourselves, to try to magnify ourselves. We try everything we know. But you know what, beloved? When God magnifies you, you won't need to bother with magnifying yourself because it will be so obvious. You know what God said to Joshua? I believe that's Joshua chapter 3 verse 7. Let me read that. You can write that down. Joshua chapter 3 verse 7 and then Joshua chapter 4 verse 14. Joshua chapter 3 verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This day," God said, "this day I will begin to magnify you. I will begin to enlarge you." Well, beloved, when you honor God, God will enlarge you. He will enlarge your coast. You remember, the Bible says about Jabez, in I believe it's 1 Chronicles chapter 4. He said Jabez was more honorable than all of his brethren, and God enlarged his coast. God enlarged his coast. When you honor God, God will magnify you. God will enlarge your coast. Don't you desire for him to magnify you and enlarge your coast? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I do. And then in Joshua 4:17, the Bible says, on that day, actually, Joshua 4:14, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. That is the second part of honor's reward. But there is one more that is so powerful, that is so beautiful. When you honor God, I call this double-double. When you honor God, God will make you a candidate for double honor. God will give you double honor and glory in every area of previous shame in your life and every area where you have come short in the past. Anywhere that has been an area of shame, or anything where you have fallen short in the past, God will restore double unto you. Look at what he said in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 6 and 7. I call this double-double, Isaiah 61, 6 and 7. He says, "But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself." Verse 7, "For your shame you shall have double." Hallelujah. "And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." Oh, what a glory. What an honor to have the blessing, the anointing of God, to call you and acknowledge you as a priest, and then for God to put double honor upon your life. The Amplified says, "Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." That double honor is your portion in Jesus' mighty name. You remember in Job chapter 42, verses 10 and 12, the Bible says God blessed Job with double honor. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says Elisha received double honor. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, Peter, that man who honored Jesus by giving him his boat so he can preach through his boat as an instrument, the Bible says he received double portion, double honor. He received a great catch, such a mighty catch, where he had labored all night and caught nothing. So he was enriched naturally. But then, beyond that, Jesus said unto him, "From now on, you will catch men. You will not just catch fish, you will catch men." That's double honor, my brother and my sister. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, God said, "You prove me now. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and rain down upon you such blessings that your barns will not be able to contain, and you will be called a delightsome land. Everyone that sees you will say you are the blessed of the Lord." What a glory. What an honor. I declare that is your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Make this confession with me. Praise God. Make this confession with me. Say, I honor God in Jesus' mighty name.
I honor God in Jesus' mighty name.
Say, I commit my life to honoring God.
I commit my life to honoring God.
And because I commit my life to honoring God, honor's reward is my portion.
Honor's reward is my portion.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, beloved. Thank you for being online with us again tonight. I call you blessed of the Lord. Remember, we're back tomorrow, same time for day number 24. Getting exciting as we approach our last sessions, our last days. I know God does. He saves the best for the last. And I believe he has saved the best for the last for you. Our lives will never be the same again in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.